John 3 and verse 17 is our text this evening. John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I saw a headline this week as I was looking at various news sites on the internet. It was something like, if I can remember it, worldwide shortage of safety pins, or run on safety pins causes shortage. It intrigued me. I didn't click on it. I didn't think it was relevant. Couldn't quite figure out why that would be. But today, as we were talking with the kids at lunchtime, I discovered apparently that this shortage has been caused because of a new fad, a new craze, a new trend of young people especially wearing safety pins on their lapels or their whatevers, communicating the message, I'm a safe person. I'm a safe person. And there are so many tender souls around, very afraid of hearing anything from anyone that might upset them. And yet if they can see somebody with a safety pin, then all is well. They're going to be safe and happy. And this is the kind of culture that we're living in, a culture that wants to avoid anything upsetting, anything offensive, anything that would cause any pain. And that's one of the reasons why many people are turning away from the church, at least the Bible-believing church. Because they say the church is too condemning, or Christians in general are too condemning. They don't feel safe, as it were. They feel that if they hear any truth from Christians or from the Bible, that it will upset them, and therefore this is to be avoided. And in fact, some people will even point to the Bible, and they'll say that the Bible supports this. And one of the verses that is often quoted is this, verse 17. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. See, they say, here's Christianity. It's not condemning. Jesus didn't come to condemn. Therefore, the church and Christians, you and I, should not be condemning. We should be accepting. We should be welcoming. We should be safe people. Well, let's have a look at that this evening, looking at this verse and the verses especially following it to see if such a view can be supported by Scripture. We want to look at two particular kinds of people that are brought before us in these verses. And the world is split into these two kinds of people. And the first group is, we'll call them the already condemned. The already condemned. And the other group is the not condemned. We want to look at these two groups. First of all, the already condemned. And we want to look at these people, looking at their relationships to three things. Their relationship to the Lord Jesus, their relationship to the law, and their relationship to the light. First of all, let's look at the already condemned and see their relationship to the Lord. So we read here in verse 18, he that believes on him, that's Jesus, God's Son that he sent into the world, he that believes on him is not condemned. But he that believes not is condemned already. So here's a group. Here's the kind of person who's described as already condemned, and one of their characteristics is that they do not believe in Jesus Christ. They do not believe in Jesus Christ. He that believes not is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, these are people who either reject the Lord or reject or deny or doubt God's testimony about the Lord Jesus. Or else, these are people who know very well all that God has revealed about his Son Jesus. They know the Bible. In fact, they may even believe the Bible from start to finish. But they don't believe in Jesus. You see, how can that be? How can you believe the whole Bible and not believe in Jesus? Well, of course, it's incredibly easy to do so. Believing in Jesus is not just believing that these black words on these white pages are true. Faith is more than that. Faith is more than believing something to be true. Faith involves not just truth, but trusting. It involves acting upon that truth. And this whole section is about believing. So many different images and symbols, illustrations are used for believing. But the essence of it is that faith, true faith, brings a person into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It brings them into a living connection with him. It brings them into his life and him into their lives. But that's not the people we have here. They have not believed. They are not in that relationship. They are not in his life and he is not in their life. There is no trusting conversation. There's no loving converse that's going on between them. There is no relationship here. There's no confidence. You can be an unbeliever while believing in the whole Bible. So remember, Jesus here is speaking to Nicodemus. He's somebody who believed the whole Bible, but he didn't believe in Jesus. And Jesus is probing Nicodemus and he's calling Nicodemus. And he's saying to Nicodemus, here and in various other verses, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. So, relationship to the Lord, he does not believe in Jesus. But look secondly at the already condemned and their relationship to the law. It says here, he that believeth not is condemned already. Is condemned already. What's Jesus saying here? He's saying, Nicodemus, you're condemned already. It's not that Jesus came to condemn, because Nicodemus, you and the rest of the world are already condemned. That's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you are condemned. The problem is you don't know it. You don't know it. It's like the little boy. Maybe you can imagine a mother going through a store and they come to the toy aisle and the little boy runs, sees all the colorful plastics and he runs down the aisle and he's absolutely transfixed by all the beautiful colors and the shiny metal and all the beeps and buzzes, and all the things he can touch. And his mother's carried on. And she's now down in the food aisle. And that little boy is lost, but he doesn't know it. He's so taken up with all the shiny, colorful things, all the noise, that he has no idea what danger he's in, what lostness he is experiencing. And this is what Jesus is saying about unbelievers, those who are not in a relationship with Jesus. They are condemned. It's just they don't know it. They are so transfixed and obsessed and taken up with all the shiny, noisy, attractive things in this world that they don't realize. They don't realize how lost they are. He that believes not is condemned already. You don't need to come to church to be condemned, he's saying. You're already condemned. You don't need to hear a sermon to be condemned. You're already condemned. You don't need to be with a dangerous Christian to be condemned. You're already condemned. The problem is, you don't realize it. And Jesus here is basically saying, above the head of every unbeliever, every single person who is not in a relationship with Jesus, is this word stamped, condemned. 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 Somebody who has been accused and tried and found guilty and sentenced and doomed to destruction because they have not believed in Jesus. I wonder if that's how you view people as you walk down the street, as you drive along the road, as you shop, as you work, even as you look in the mirror. As you look in the mirror, do you see that biblical stamp above your head if you're not a believer in Jesus? Condemned. I remember seeing a film of one of the rundown areas, I think it was of Detroit. You see all these houses, street after street, destroyed, ruined, ransacked over the last 10 years or so. And it was a hotel. There was a hotel in the midst of all the wreckage. And it was falling apart. And there was a board that boasted of all the hotel services. Swimming pool, gym, breakfast, free breakfast, TVs in every room, en suite, and then above it all, condemned. The council, the local building department, whatever, had been going along the street and putting these labels on houses and buildings and businesses that were to be razed to the ground. And here's this hotel still with this facade of all these promises, and in actuality, utterly condemned, doomed to be demolished and reduced to rubble. And Jesus is saying, if you are not a believer in me, that's how you should see yourself. No matter how much promise you have, no matter how many talents and abilities, no matter how much money, how much popularity, how many friends, no matter what the sign on the door says, above it all it says condemned, doomed to destruction. Already condemned, said Jesus. It's not, in other words, Jesus saying, my coming does not condemn you. You're already condemned. My preaching does not condemn you. You're already condemned. The future judgment does not condemn you. You're already condemned. You see, that's not very nice. That's not very kind. That's not very safe, is it? Well, How safe is it? How kind is it? How loving is it to see someone that you know is condemned and doomed and you don't tell them? Is that loving? Is that kind? Is that safe? They may feel safe, but it's a false feeling. They feel safe, but they are not saved. They feel safe, but they are condemned. How can we look at people in the eye and see this biblical sentence above their heads? How can I look out on you this evening and see some of you here without faith in Jesus Christ, knowing that you're already condemned, and not tell you? Surely the safest thing is to know the truth. The safest person you can be with is the person that tells you the truth about yourself, the truth about sin, and the truth about God. We should be able to put a huge metal safety pin over the door of this church and say this is the safest place you could possibly be. Christians should be able to wear safety pins. Say, I'm the safest person you can possibly be with. Because in contrast to the vast majority of the world, I'm going to tell you the truth. Lovingly, tenderly, pleadingly. The already condemned, their relationship to the Lord, they do not believe. Their relationship to the law, they are already condemned. And then thirdly, their relationship to the light. We read here, and this is the condemnation. And what it really means is, here is evidence of the condemnation. We've said, here are people who don't believe. The result is that they are condemned. And here's what flows, or here's what proves that. Here's the best evidence we could find to show you what a sorry and pitiful state it is to be like this. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Here it's speaking, of course, of the coming of the Lord Jesus himself. The light of the world comes as light into the world. And we're told, men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. In the Bible, light is put for knowledge instead of ignorance, for holiness instead of sin, for joy instead of sadness, and for heaven instead of hell. Here comes light, the light of knowledge, the light of holiness, the light of joy, and the light of heaven. Here comes light. And what happens? Men loved darkness. We're given a choice between light and darkness, between knowledge and ignorance, between holiness and sin, between joy and sadness, between heaven and hell, and we choose the darkness. We choose ignorance. We choose sin, we choose grief, and we choose hell. If this isn't evidence of a condemned state, what is? This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil. Their deeds are darkness. It's not just they're in darkness. They love darkness. And it's not just that they love darkness, they do darkness. They do dark deeds. It's, children, I'm sure you're familiar with exploring in your yard or the forest. And you go out and you shift a big branch, or you lift a stone. And then underneath it, you see all these creatures We've been very happy, very content, undisturbed, very still. Everything going fine. And you lift this and the light comes on that patch of soil. And what do you see? You see the worms burrowing. You see the beetles scurrying. You see the little insects taking off. Here comes light. Give me darkness. Here Jesus says, this is the relationship of the unbeliever, of the condemned to himself. Everyone that does evil, verse 20, hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Why? Here comes light. Why don't you stay in it? Why do you block your ears even in church? Why do you fill your mind with everything apart from the truth of God, even in church? Why do you seek to find distractions, even in church? Why do you try to find reasons not to listen, even in church? Because you don't want your deeds to be reproved, isn't it? Let's be honest. I used to do it myself. When the minister started getting close with the Word of God, when my own sins and sinful habits began to be exposed, well, I was an expert at finding the darkness, at closing off the light, blocking my eyes, blocking my ears, my mind and my heart. Because it's uncomfortable. It's like the beetles. I wanted to get back into the... That's it. This is uncomfortable. I don't like this. I want to be undisturbed again. I want to be comfortable. I want to keep a good opinion of myself. I want others to think well of me. I want to continue my enjoyment of sin. I want to continue in my hopes, though false hopes, of the future, for the future. Given the choice between knowledge and ignorance, I'll choose ignorance. Between holiness and sin, I'll choose sin. The already condemned, their relationship to the Lord, to the law, and to the light. Do you recognize yourself? There is another group. It's another kind of person. They're described here as the not condemned. The not condemned. Look at their relationship to the Lord. It's quite different. Verse 18. He that believes on him is not condemned. Here are people who have put their faith in Jesus, who don't just believe the Bible. They have put their trust in Christ. They have said, I have no hope of salvation in myself. I contribute nothing to my salvation. I look to Christ alone. I have all this guilt. His blood covers it. I have this sentence against me. He removes it. I cannot keep the law. He keeps it for me. I put my faith in him. You put your faith in him and you become a believer. A true believer. You are in his life and he is in your life. And there's interaction, communication. There's life. It's not just churchianity. It's a Christianity. It's a real person. It's a real influence upon you. You talk with him. You seek him. You worship him. You love him. You believe in him. Look at their relationship to the law. He is not condemned. He that believeth in him is not condemned. That's incredible, isn't it? Not condemned. Here we are with this sentence above us, condemned. This word so full of darkness and foreboding and doom. And we know we deserve it. We know this is we've earned it. We know this is just and fair. We know that our lives should be condemned. Guilt wells up within us. And we sense we have broken God's law. We have offended God's majesty. We must be punished. And not just in a short and little way, but in a lengthy and massive way, even eternally. We sense the judgment of God, don't we? We think over our lives and we know we're condemned. But there's a way to not condemned, and it's quite simple. He that believes on him is not condemned. Is that it? Is that it? As Paul said in Romans, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You go back over your whole life, believer. You go back over all that you have done and not done, and you see all these condemned, all the days, all the habits, all the sins, all the situations, all the decisions, and over them all and beside them all is condemned. And what faith does, as soon as you believe in Jesus, not is put in front of all these condemned. Not condemned, not condemned, not condemned, not condemned. And then you come to that one, or that time, that sin, that habit, that person. You think, sure enough, there's another big N-O-T, not condemned. You go down the whole list from the beginning of your life to the very moment you are in fact, even to the end of your life and the last breath, and written over from beginning to end, from the moment of conception to your very last breath, is written not condemned. Multiple times, every single sin that you've ever committed, that you know about and you don't know about, that you've confessed and you've not confessed, no condemnation. Not condemned. You will not be called to trial. You will not be accused. You will not have evidence brought against you. You will not be found guilty. You will not be sentenced. You will not be executed. Not condemned. The way to that, just keep going over that. Whenever you're sensing guilt arising, he that believes on him is not condemned. Because Christ is condemned in our place. Because Christ took our condemnation, didn't he, believer? Every single ounce of it, every single letter of it, every moment of it, until he milked it dry. There's none left to take. And he hands us this on a gospel plate. And he says, take it. It says, no condemnation. Whenever conscience rises up to accuse, put that in front of your conscience. Whenever the devil rises up, put that in front of him. Whenever the world, put that in front. Here, I believe and I'm not condemned. I'm not condemned. The relationship to the law. Look thirdly at this person's relationship to the light. We read in verse 21, he that does truth comes to the light. What a difference. The already condemned think about the word of God and run. They hear the word of God and they take cover. They hide. They say, give me the dark. Hide me. But these people, we read here, they come to the light. Why? That their deeds may be made manifest. They want to be exposed. They want the light to shine. They're not running away from it. They're running to it. Because they know that it's the light of love. They run to it. That their deeds, their works may be made manifest, clearly seen, that they are wrought in God, that their deeds are for God's glory, by God's grace. They give God all the credit for any good in their life. They don't come to the light and say, hey, look what I've done. They say, no, look what God has done. They love the light. They come to the light. If the already condemned are like the beetle scurrying away, the not condemned are like the sunflower that seeks out the sun and that benefits from the sun and blooms in the sun and produces more and more fruit. The more the sun shines upon it, and wherever the sun goes, that the head of that sunflower faces it and keeps it in view at all times. And it's saying, light shine on me, light shine in me. Here are the not condemned. And in that light, we can reread verse 17. God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. It's not saying the world is not condemned. It's saying it didn't take the coming of the Son to condemn the world, because the world was already condemned. But what he came with was, his priority was to come with a message of salvation for the already condemned. And if you think about that second part of that verse, but that the world through him might be saved, well, why does anyone need saved unless they are already condemned? And so Jesus is saying here, I have come into this world, and my primary role, my priority is not simply to come and point out everything that's wrong in your life. My primary, my priority responsibility is to come to save, to communicate life and love and light to the already condemned. And unless people are condemned, it makes no sense whatsoever, does it? Makes no sense. Is the church too condemning? Are Christians too condemning? All the church is doing, all Christians are doing, all ministers are doing, is helping people see what's already true. We don't make people condemned. We don't increase people's condemnation. We simply help people to see what's already true. We simply exist to help people see they are already condemned, and that Jesus did not come to crush such, to shove people down further into the dirt and the dust. But he came to those already in the dirt and in the dust to save, to communicate his life, his light, and his love. Jesus is the safest person in the world. There's none safer. If anyone could wear a safety pin, it was Jesus Christ. Because his great aim in life was to bring comfort and consolation, to bring salvation through truth, through telling people what was true, in a loving and compassionate and pleading way. There's no one safer because there's no other Savior. Surely the safest person in the world is the one who is called the Savior. Don't be deceived by safety pins and anyone else. A lot of these people are not safe in the least because they will not tell you the truth. In fact, they will only tell you lies. They will only comfort you in your delusion and deception. But Jesus Christ, we read here, he came that the world through him might be saved. Ask the Lord to show you. Go to Jesus and say, you're the safest person. You're the only true person. Show me myself. Show me my condemnation. Show me what's already true about me. And show me your salvation. Show me the truth of verse 17. Help me to stop running from your law, from your life, from your love, and from your light. And help me to embrace that light, however uncomfortable it may make me for a time. If it's truth, let me believe it. Why don't you go to him like that? So that you stop being the already condemned and you start being in this wonderful group of the not condemned. Wouldn't you like to walk out of church with that? Not just in your ears, but in your heart. Not condemned, not condemned, not condemned. Wouldn't that be a wonderful two words to die on? Not condemned, not condemned, not condemned. Amen. Let's pray.